Welcome to the Calvary St. George's Sermon Podcast, proclaiming the historic faith of Christ and Him crucified. These podcasts are recorded and produced by the Parish of Calvary St. George's in the city of New York. For more information, head to calvarystgeorges.org.
And a very warm welcome to you to St. George's Church this morning for our service of Holy Communion. Our gospel reading contains one of the most beloved and probably what has become cliche scriptures in the entire Bible, from St. John chapter 3, 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him may not perish, but have everlasting life. And I was thinking about that. Well, like, what am I going to say that's kind of new? And there's nothing really to say new. It's all been said. And so, but what I want to say is, don't let the profundity of that verse pass you by because of familiarity. The Father loves the world in His beloved Son. The Father loves you in His beloved Son. As one theologian put it, this is the exclusively inclusive love of the Father being articulated to us. Now, when the Old Testament was being translated into Greek from the Hebrew, the Greeks began to see this kind of love, and they didn't have a word for it. They had four other words for love, but they didn't have a word to describe the love God had for Israel. This love was radical, and it was revolutionary to the world. So they called it agape. Now, agape love is similar to other types of love, in that there's power to it. It's similar to other types of love in that it's revealed first as a word. Agape is spoken. Do you remember the first time someone said, "I love you" to you? Do you remember that? I mean, and really kind of meant it. The anxiety, the trepidation, the fear, the excitement, the warmth that came over you. And rightly so. Agape love, unlike any other love, though, it touches us deeply. And it can touch us deeply. It touches us so deeply that it has the power to create in and through us. Agape puts things into motion. However, what sets this love apart is that this love is more than words. To quote Extreme's amazing hit from the 1990s, it is more than words. Agape love is the act of giving yourself away without any return in view. A love that is self-giving and self-sacrificing without any payment. None whatsoever. So you begin to see how revolutionary this was and why the world never had a word for this before. Because we don't naturally produce agape love. Our love tends to be conditional. You know, I love you because you love me back. I love you because you make me really look good. You make me look important. Now, some folks translate this. They misunderstand agape, and they confuse it with our kind of love. And so they translate this into Christianity by saying, well, God loves you, but He expects your obedience in return. But friends, that is not agape. And this is my first point. Our love, however subtle, typically asks, what's in it for me? But God so agaped the world that He gave His only Son. That does not ask for anything in return. It is all gift to you. Agape love, how God loves, is solely focused on the object. You, me, the whole world. And that love creates new creation right out of nothing. That is how God loves. And Christ is the sign of the Father's love. This love, as I mentioned, this agape was demonstrated and foreshadowed throughout the Old Testament. And the context of our gospel reading comes from our Old Testament reading, which Grace Freeborn read so beautifully. But Jesus is teaching a leader of the Pharisees named Nicodemus about this agape love. And Jesus points to a scene from the Old Testament, our Old Testament reading today, Numbers 21. When the nation of Israel was in the wilderness, God had just given them the Canaanite city of Arad over to the people of Israel. God had given it to them. But immediately in the next scene, they begin to grumble and complain against Moses and God. You know, they say essentially, never mind the fact that you parted the sea and freed us from slavery in Egypt. Life was so much better there in Egypt. You know, never mind the fact that you're feeding us bread literally from heaven. We don't like that food. Well, that did not go over well, and God sent snakes into the camp, which attacked and killed a number of the people. However, in mercy, in grace, God gave a cure, a sign, which included their problem. A snake raised on a pole. This is where the medical community gets their symbol. But a snake raised up on a pole, the very thing that was bringing them death, put that up on a pole so that all of the eyes of Israel could look upon it. And in looking upon that pole, they would live. It was totally inclusive in that it was available to all who would behold and believe the promise of God. But it was exclusive in the sense that there was no other way to live. I'm sure the last thing any Israelite wanted to look at was a snake. Give me a sunset. You know, give me some sort of homeopathic medicine. But a snake, the symbol of my judgment, that's the symbol of my salvation at the same time? Count me out. And the same is true with us. We'd rather seek the token of God's love somewhere else, in a Hallmark card, a quiet walk on the beach, a warm emotional experience. Have God actually love us on our terms. And as Jesus tells, though, Nicodemus, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. The image of humanity killing the one perfect man, a symbol of our judgment, also becomes the symbol of our salvation. And this is my second point. In his death on the cross, Jesus is the serpent on the pole. Just like those serpents in Numbers, he is both your sin, he is your judgment, and he is your salvation. For Jesus on the cross is where God has spoken to you in your darkest hour, and has actually become, by becoming human flesh and dwelling among us, dying for us, rising for us, giving us his very all, he has become the sign of God's love for the world. He has become the antidote, the very judgment of the world has become the antidote, the cure, the medicine to the sin that courses through our veins, which eventually leads to death. Make no doubt about it, the agape love of God is all inclusive. He died for the whole world. Not just the respectable, not just the religious, not just the lovable parts of the world, but the whole world. That's who Jesus died for. And as far as God is concerned, the whole world in Jesus is saved. And although we love to categorize and divide people, saved versus unsaved, mature Christian versus backslider, as creatures we have no right to do this. Yet it is clear that the inclusive agape is only and exclusively in his beloved Son. There's salvation in no other name. There is life in no other name. There is no other revelation of God's love for the world but the one act of self-sacrifice in Jesus Christ. So this inclusive love is exclusively in Christ. And this revelation is found in his coming in flesh and blood, told to us in the Bible, found in the preaching of the gospel, and given to us in bread and wine. But what this does is this precipitates a crisis in us. I heard crisis once is the Greek word for judgment. This is the judgment, as Jesus says. This is the crisis, that light has come into the world and people love darkness more than the light. The death and resurrection of Jesus, the one lifted up on a pole for the whole world, it creates a crisis because upon hearing this agape love, one can never be neutral about it again. There's either faith or unbelief. There's no middle ground. Christ and Him crucified says God loves you on His terms, not yours. And so I resist that. Every human resists this agape love. A personal confession, I am deeply offended by it. I mean, I'd love 12 ways to God. But if there were 12 ways to God, I'd probably be asking for 24 ways to God. We all intrinsically hate it because we want God's love on our terms. We want to be God and have God be the creature. Therefore, we love to take this agape love into the realm of hypothetics. This is how humans deal with the truth that makes us really uncomfortable. We ask about the rice farmer in Timbuktu who's maybe never heard of Jesus. What about him? We've all either asked that question or been asked that question. Here's the amazing thing. The rice farmer in Timbuktu is probably a Christian. I mean, if you like look at it. But ultimately, the great thing about Christianity is that it's not about hypothetics. Christianity, agape love, or as I call it every week, the gospel, is about where the rubber hits the road in your life. And when you really think about it, most of the time, the hypothetical questions about people who've never heard of Jesus is just us really trying to put God's love on our terms. It's trying to avoid the crisis that God's love creates. It's trying to avoid that crisis that the gospel reveals, that we are not God, and we are utterly and totally dependent upon Him. The truth is that this agape love, Christ lifted up for the sins of the whole world, functions as both law and gospel, rightly divided in our lives, every day. The cross brings us to the crisis or the judgment that humanity is really that bad. That the light has come into the world, but we prefer darkness. The cross, agape, reveals all of us share something in common even with ISIS. All of us reject agape. All of us are capable and would willingly put Christ up on that cross. But the gospel... that cross also says God the Father knows this and He loves you anyway. God loved the world in giving His Son. The Son loved the world by giving His life. God loved you by bringing you to baptism and joining you to His beloved Son in His death. And God loves you in His beloved Son. And the Son loves you in giving you His blood and His body to eat and drink. And He loves you in putting His word into your ears that you might have faith. That agape love would create faith. And this is my third point. This agape love is terrifyingly exclusive in that it is only found in Jesus. But it is wonderfully inclusive because it is even and especially for you. No one, not even you, is left out. Hear me today, Christian. You are baptized. You are in the light. And you are loved in Jesus. So look on Him. Lift it up for you. Look upon Him. Given to you in bread and wine. Look on Him in faith today and live. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our sermon podcast. produced and recorded at the parish of Calvary St. George's in the city of New York. If you feel led to support the continuing ministry of the parish, you can make an online donation at calvarystgeorges.org/giving. Thank you.